Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to the book of Titus. Titus, it's in the New Testament. Amen. Second chapter. Amen. Thankful for all the folks that got to go up and be in the soul winning marathon. If you haven't, if you thought about, prayed about, don't forget, if you want to go on that mission trip and be a part of that, it's not only our teenagers that are going, we're also going to have some adults go. And so you need to take one of those papers, contact Brother James, and fill out that essay. And we're not going to be able to take our whole church out there. Amen. But if you do really want to go, we want you to be able to go. And so we want to be able to just kind of hone that in and see what you can do and how you can be a part of it. Amen. And so don't let that go too far. We want to try to make plans for that as we prepare going forward. In Titus chapter number 2, the book of Titus is, again, one of the pastoral epistles, and sometimes we overlook the book as something that is only pastoral, or it's only written to a young preacher boy who's maybe not so young and trying to instruct him on things. But we see the pastoral qualifications, and we've recently covered the qualifications of a deacon. And so I wanted to go over, and the title tonight is Sound Men and Women. And if there ever was a day that we needed sound men and women in our churches, again, God didn't make anything in between. He only made male and female, amen, and men and women. And we know that to be true. But again, if there was anything that could be said, really, the book of Titus lays out a set of qualifications, if it were. If there's qualifications for a good preacher, if there's qualifications for a deacon, then here God lays out good qualifications of a Christian man and a Christian woman. And I mean, to be classified in a way to be what God wants us to be, then we ought to look at these qualifications tonight. Now, the word sound simply is defined this way: founded in truth, all right? Firm, strong, valid, solid, that cannot be overthrown or refuted. So when you think about sound men and women, that means we're grounded in the faith. There's five things that are said about being sound here in just the first 8 verses, and we're going to go over those. But really, I want you to also, not really going to be one of those messages where we're completely alliterated and everything's there, but I want you to be able to pick up where you are. Some of these things are going to be more, if you're a man or an aged man, the scripture will actually say here, then you ought to take some of those things to heart, because maybe the last time you went over this or somebody preached it to you, you were a young man and now you're aged, and you ought to be able to put some of those things and take them to yourself and make sure that you're reminded of them. Maybe you're a young man and you need to be able to pick up some things that are here laid out in the scripture to make sure you're the kind of young man you ought to be. There's also aged women. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or tell me who you are. We don't typically give ages with our ladies, amen? And so no hand raising, all right? But again, it says aged women. And the aged women are told to teach the young women. I think it's very interesting and something that every one of us ought to pick up. Sometimes we believe that our young women, I believe that the falling, tearing apart of America is twofold. It's that we're not teaching the next generation to do and be what they ought to be, because we think as Christians, because we live the Christian life, that again, that there's some natural things. You know, the natural man left to himself, he doesn't get better and better. It doesn't have a little spark and all you need to do is fan it. That's not the way it is. And even for us, sometimes we talk about young ladies that they ought to have a natural mothering instinct. You know, it's not natural unless they've seen it practiced in their own home. It's not natural unless it's been taught to them to be that way. And for us, we need the aged women to teach the young women some things. We need the aged men to set an example and live in such a way that our young men live and practice and want to be that kind of aged man someday. And so the scripture is going to lay it out for us. Let's pray and we'll dive into the scripture. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you again for scripture, Lord, that just tells us how we ought to live. Doesn't matter whether we're pastors, again, teachers, or where we are, Lord, every one of us, we fall in these category of man and woman, and we can take it to heart, and we can take what you have in your scripture, and we can try to meet these qualifications of being the man or woman that you want us to be. I beg you, Lord, help us, teach us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2 says, "But speak thou the things which becomes sound doctrine. He just finished in chapter number 1 going over the qualifications and then talking about some who didn't meet these qualifications, that didn't say the right thing, didn't do the right thing, really were perverse at the end of chapter 2. And then in chapter 2, he begins it with, but. That means we're changing sides of the street, not someone who has brought deceit and is lying or for filthy lucre's sake would take money to do things, but it says, but speak now the things which become sound doctrine. He's telling Timothy here to preach or to tell folks about this. You say, well, preacher, he preached that a long time ago. Yeah, more preachers need to be preaching this, because without this, we get to the place where we end up with people who believe that you can be something in between a man and a woman. I never thought I'd ever see a day when I was a young man, when I was in church, that I ever thought anybody would ever have to say that from the pulpit. But we've come to that day, and a lot of it is because what happened is people weren't good men or weren't good ladies, and it blurred the lines. And when they let things or didn't teach their kids, because, again, you know, when you don't really care about where your edges are and how close you are to the edge, then you know what? Your kids will take whatever you're doing to excess. That's what the scripture says. So if you're willing to go to the edge, guess where your kid's going to be? Over the cliff. So for all of us, we need to take to heart what it says about sound doctrine. You know, the first sound in here is about doctrine. Doctrine is something that every one of us need. It's a central rock of scripture truth that we can hold on. Even like this, sound doctrine is that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. So even where the scripture starts here, there's so much more in doctrine that's in the Bible. But without sound doctrine, we can't get together as a church and have a firm foundation in the Word of God. Without sound doctrine, we can't get together on those truths, simple truths. How about the deeper truths about where man came from and where man is headed? Without the sound doctrine of the Word of God, and everything in between, by the way, is set up on what your child is taught about where they came from and where they're going. Everything else is living this existence, and so we'll send our kids to public school to learn about that they came from an amoeba, and that amoeba crawled out and became a frog, and that frog lost its tail, hopped up in a tree, became a monkey, and then became a man. That's wrong, that's wicked, that's not sound doctrine, and it teaches our children that if we can evolve from there, why can't I evolve from one state of man or to a woman? And listen, folks, if you think this thing is done, it's not. I think that even the liberal crowd had to rein this one in, because they saw how far it could run the train off the rails. Okay? And so even for that, but it's not over. They're gonna dig this back up and recircle this when it's convenient for them. And so here we see, but speak now the things which become sound doctrine. Now, I want to just mention for a minute here that sound doctrine is, for us, as the English-speaking people, the King James Bible. Now, sometimes I believe that, you know, I think people come in and they just know. But I realize for myself, we've had a lot of brand new folks come in. And what they need is to be taught sound doctrine. And so we need to teach them over and over again that the King James Bible is what they need to be using. Why? Because if they get something else, they don't have sound doctrine. Because if things that are different are not the same, it changes doctrine. When you change words, you change doctrine. Amen and amen. So sound doctrine. Then he begins with the men, and that's where he ought to. Because men, you ought to be men. You ought to lead. Amen. Man, I can tell you. Are you either tired or you just scared? It's all right. She's gonna tell you it's okay to put your pants on, all right? All right? We ought to be men. The Bible says here that the aged men ought to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, Sound in charity and sound in patience. That's what it means there in the scripture. So we have some sounds that we're going to go after about soundness or wholeness or founded in the truth about some things. And the aged men are the ones that ought to be leading in this. Everyone that will come after this ought to be sound in all three of these areas, because the man in the home or in church or in Sunday school taught the truths to everyone that will come after. That he lives these things and people desire to have what daddy had. Desired to have what the man of God has. Desired to have what the bus captain has. What the Sunday school teacher has. What the person who's in leadership or is leading as they follow Jesus Christ has in their life. The Bible says here, he says, sober. Do you know, he's not talking about he's not drunk. But I still think every good aged man ought to be sober, even compared to how the world defines it. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about serious, not given. We live in an age of everyone is seeking entertainment. They're caught up in their phone or game system or some kind of thing, or they're just waiting until they can get back on the golf course and live for some entertainment. The man of God, the Christian ought to be, the aged man ought to be sober, realizing what is important and putting it first and foremost in his life. Doesn't mean you can't go golf every once in a while. Doesn't mean that you can't have some time spent in a little bit of fun. Amen. But you know what? I grew up with a daddy who, he was sober. He had a first job, and when he finished his first job, he went to his fun job, the thing that he wanted to do, his second side job that he whistled while he worked. He was encouraged to be there. Now, we needed that, another income to make ends meet. Amen. And a good, sober, aged man will put his family first. Okay? Not work a job. And I'm not going to get on you tonight, men, but you ought to take care of your family. Somebody, mama ought not be taking care of you. Now, I know how old that really sounds. That sounds old school, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound so bad? Listen, all of you that think that the woman ought to be the leader, you're in the wrong place. I'd love for you to give me chapter and verse in the Bible. All right? You say, well, what's wrong with her being the breadwinner? Absolutely nothing. Okay? Absolutely nothing. If the man is working too. All right? I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age where mama and daddy, or just to say it like this, they're not sober enough to the fact that sometimes you got to sacrifice some of your wants so that the mom in the home can be what she ought to be for the family. Now, that's old school preaching. And it's not popular in our age. But I'm just telling you, it's a time that we got to the place where we didn't keep letting other people raise our kids. God put a mom and a dad inside the home so dad could bring home the bacon and mom could teach the young kids and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and dad could come home and whoop them when they didn't do right. Amen. That's sober. That soundness of mind. Grave. You know what grave means? Not that he's dead to everything. It means he's honest. I mean, he's honest to a fault. He'll tell on himself. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we had men like that today? That were just, I mean, if they did wrong or even told a lie, they couldn't live with themselves. You know, we used to have men like that. That would be brokenhearted that they told a half-truth and they'd hunt you down and say, I don't know if I told you wrong. I just want to correct it. I just want to be straight and tell you how it is, exactly what I meant to say, because I don't want it to be confused. It's important that we live honestly among folks. Do you know that even though the world doesn't live that way, they expect you as a Christian to? They'll hold you, your feet to the fire. Listen, they'll tell you exactly how a Christian lives. And sometimes they'll tell us better than we know. Some of them have been listening around the corner to the church house, even though they don't want to come there. So they can hold you to it. Yeah, I'm not going. You know what? The whole reason for that is so they can say, I'm not going down there with that pack of hypocrites. They're using it as a big excuse when they ought to come down and try to do and live like you are trying to live. And it ain't always easy, is it? No. We're born sinners. When you get saved, you don't stop being a saved sinner. You're still a saved sinner. Guess what saved sinners do? They lie. Amen. You know what they say? All liars shall have their part. And I said, no, not saved ones. Na 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 boo boo. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't want to go. I'm not saying that I advocate that. But I'm so glad that after I got saved, the next time I lied, that I wasn't bound for the devil's hell. I'm God. I got saved to the uttermost. Amen. And so for all of us, as we go through this, but what is expected and what should we be as an aged man? We ought to be honest. We ought to be grave about things. Sober and grave. That it gives a seriousness that we love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to live above this the common things of this world. Honest. How about this? He says temperate. Temperate, it doesn't say have a temper. Okay, I'm just trying to share with you. It means temperate. That means that we ought to have balance in our life. We ought to know what's important and try to yield to those things. Everything needs to get done. One of the hardest things for a man in the home is giving everybody what they ought to have. The time that mom needs for you to be with her and to communicate and to spend time with her, and time for your children, and time for work, and time for your Bible reading, and time to pray, and time to study for Sunday school, and time is one of the greatest things. And when we talk about balance, it's, you know what most people, they want the balance of the scale, how much time I have to work and how much time I get to play. Listen, when you got married and you took on a family, throw the other side of the scale out the window. It's not a balance. You gave all your time to them. You signed it on a check and said, I'm yours, and I'm going to live my life and give myself as Christ did for the church. I'm going to give that to my wife and my family. So quit trying to have balance between your own time. You don't have no time. You gave it away when you got married. Amen. You're theirs. Your whole life is bound up in them. And for all of us, sometimes we miss that. We live in a day and age where that is heresy to the world, but that is sound doctrine in the church. Aged men ought to live that way. Tempered, balanced, sound in faith. That means the faith of the Word of God, teaching people how to come to Jesus Christ through faith. The faith itself. The thing we ought to defend with our lives, sound faith. That means firm faith, faith that cannot be overthrown or refuted. One of the things that every daddy ought to strive to be is someone, listen, husband ought to be somebody that can answer questions about the faith for your family. Sound in faith, sound in charity. Now that word charity is love, but it ain't the kind of love the world has. It's the only love that Jesus can give. That means your wife, your children ought to get love from you in so many different ways, but in the fullness like Jesus would give it. Love in a natural way. Love in a supernatural way. Loving them enough to teach them and live in such a manner in front of them that they might grow up and sound in faith and in doctrine. Amen. How about sound in patience? Now, most of us don't like the word patience. Most of us don't pray for patience because you'll get it. But the word patience itself, I remind you again, doesn't mean all the time what we think. Patience is suffering. Do you know for all of us, sound in suffering? You know that every one of us will go through some of what they think is trials and tribulations that would, again, derail their Christian life. And for every aged man, what you ought to be able to tell is a story of how you were sound in the faith and in doctrine and in charity and love. But when something came that should have derailed you, you were sound in patience. You held and gripped to the cross of Jesus Christ. You stayed and held the faith. You held the line. When others left, you stayed. When others let go of their standards, You held your grip and held your line. Because if the Bible, listen, if it ever was true, it's still true. If it was true and it came from the Word of God, then I have to live it. And for all of us, we ought to be that way. And so he says in the next verse, in verse 3, the aged women, likewise. So everything that pertains to the man is being carried on in these areas of being sound. Sound in doctrine, sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. Do you know, a lot of times when we see all these things about men, most of the men don't have an issue with dress. Now, in our age, you know, we got guys trying to dress like girls and some crazy things. And I'm not preaching because I didn't see anybody drive in here like that tonight. All right. But for all of you on the radio, men ought to dress like men. Amen. And women ought to dress like women. Amen. And let me just go on to say this. I believe that ladies ought to dress like ladies. The aged women ought to have had enough time to realize what holiness looks like, and they ought to put it on every day. Amen. Dressed in holiness, not just dressed in it, but clothed in it in a spiritual sense. Do you know, it's hard for us to understand sometimes, but a spiritual woman who is holy, they have other ladies who gravitate to them. You'll watch them. I'll watch them in church. They start, they eye somebody in, and they see that's a lady, that's an aged lady that I want to be like, and they'll begin to dress like them. You know, the preacher don't have to get up here and rip on clothes and how bad people dress and everything else. When you come and you become a part of this family, you start eyeing somebody, that person is holy. And if I'm going to grow and be more like Jesus Christ, I'm going to dress more like she does. I'm going to act more like she does. I'm going to try to be, because what? We're all following Christ and trying to follow his example, but as others follow that are a little farther along in the race, so we look to them and we follow them in holiness. Holiness is not just something that's an outward appearance. You know why we get driven to live that way and to dress that way? It's because we're in the Word of God. We ought to have holy women. Your children ought to be raised in the home and not just see Daddy reading his Bible, but they ought to see Mama reading the Bible. They ought to see Mama praying. They ought to see holiness in the home. Not, look, false accusers. Boy, listen, and listen, the Bible here doesn't use the word busybody, but false accusers falls under a sense to me. Instead of paying attention to the things that are going on in your house and in your home and with your children, you're watching somebody else so you can make an accusation. Sounds a little pharisaical to me. Taking focus. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't got a lot of time for false accusations. I ain't got a lot of time for people saying, I think this is happening. Amen. Listen, but when something happens, what do? We ought to act on it. We ought to act on it in our home. If something happens and we know it's true, we ought to act on it in the church. We ought to deal with those things and handle them, but we don't need to be passing around things that we think. I think this is going on. I think that. You know what they call that? That's gossip. Amen. And the gossip vine ought to be cut. Right. Amen. And snipped right off. Look what he says. He goes on and he continues in the Word of God saying, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Now, I don't know, maybe because she has to deal. No, I'm just saying that's not alcoholic wine. It just talking about there's not anything in excess in their life. It's a balanced life, one given to do the right things. Look, teachers of good things. And I don't think it's accident that it says not given to much wine. And then the very next thing is saying nothing owns them. There's no habit that has formed that owns them, but they're the teacher of good things. See, now it doesn't say that the wife here is the teacher of sound doctrine, faith. Those ought to be things that are taught by daddy. Amen. But teaching good things in the home, good things. Rewarding good things. Do you know the only way you can teach good things is to separate the good from the bad? You got to tell them what's wrong and tell them what's right. I've always been an advocate. Sometimes we're so busy teaching bad things. You know, if you teach them what you want, you'll get those things. You point out the good things. Let's do this instead of the bad. They already know the bad. They're little sinners. They came from your DNA. They know the bad things. They will hunt it down. You know who you are, and you know what you would go after if it wasn't for the Spirit of God and you trying to live holy and act right. So again, you don't have to tell them all the bad things. You already know what they're looking for. And sometimes you can surprise them. You know how it is, Mama. With the eyes in the back of your head, you can say, I know what you're thinking. And they think that you're psychic. They think that you can see through walls, that you can see all these things. But no, you know who they are because you are that person. Only by the grace of God are you different than that. Hey, look, he says that they may teach, in verse 4, the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. I just want to say this to everybody. Sometimes we think and we expect even the world to have these things. But the Bible says that they have to be taught. That ought to be a sobering thought with the America that we live in. How many kids are raised without parents? It doesn't say mama teach your kids this. It said aged women. Folks, we have so many kids. I've really been convicted studying this and going through this. As a church body, when we have these young members come in, we have a duty as aged men and aged women to teach them the things that they have never been taught. They didn't grow up in a home that taught them what a daddy ought to look like and what a mama ought to look like. And so the aged men and the aged women, it doesn't say just teach your children this. It says the aged women need to teach the young women this. We have got to take up the banner in church today of discipleship. Aged women to the young women. Aged men to the young men. Aged men to young women and young men. Teaching them by example. But more than that, when they say, I need a mentor. I need somebody to guide me. I need someone to disciple me. That we come alongside and take them. Take them to lunch. Take them by the hand. Sit with them in church. Encourage them to live for God. Watch when they have hard times and say, listen, you can make it. Listen, if I made it, you can make it. And tell them about your story and your testimony and how God brought you through it. Folks, sometimes we miss the fact that we just think this is in our own family, but this is in the family of God. This is Titus being written to instruct the church, and he doesn't say tell fathers. You know, there's other areas in the Bible it tells fathers what to do. Here it says aged men and aged women and young women. He says teaching them to love their husbands. If there ever was a day, listen, I thought that was a natural thing. I thought that was just something that women should just love their husbands. You know, the Bible says that their desire is going to be to a man, but we live in a day and age, if we're not careful, they don't worry about if that's their husband or not. That has to be taught. They have to be taught to be solely focused on the one man who's their husband that made a promise to them. Now, we would think that that command needs to go to the young men, but that's not what the Bible does here. It goes to the young women. The aged women ought to teach the young women that, to love their husbands. Now look at this. He goes on. He says, and to love their children. Now that ought to be a natural thing as well, don't you think? It ought to come natural that they just love them. Now love is different than having emotions towards them because they're your little DNA. Love is expressed in action. That means giving yourself to them. Giving yourself for them, spending yourself on them. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, we live in an age of absentee parents. Let the internet, TV, game system babysit. They're under the roof and the door is locked, so they must be okay. There are things that will come in your house and get your kids, and you don't even know that they're coming for them. While you think everything is okay, ideas and thoughts will sneak in and snatch up your children, and you'll wonder what has possessed them. And you know what it is? It's unsound doctrine. It's unsound faith. It's an unsound practice in their Christian life that they caught somewhere online. And they're holding on to it. They're fully convinced of it. And the only way they're going to be broke of it is, it's something I've seen. Sometimes they have to hit a brick wall of their own. Wouldn't it be better to teach them before something else gets a hold of them, sound doctrine, sound faith, the right things, listen, in charity, the right kind of love, the right kind of patience. He goes on, I must hasten, he says here, he says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, right? Sober, to love their husbands, to be to love their own children, to be discreet, chaste. You know, discreet is something that, for all of us, for time's sake, I'll just say it this way, that, you know, it's just something about a lady that's discreet. That, I mean, you know, just the way she walks, the way she sits, she's always conscious about being discreet. Amen? She doesn't walk like a man. She don't jump on things like a man. She's discreet. Chaste. That's purity. Keepers at home. Good. Now, that was a good one, isn't it? Just to be good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, by the way, if you just think, if you needed a why, because most of us do in this age, do you know the Bible knew exactly where we would live in this age? To be obedient to their own husbands. And then the first question is, why would I do that? So that the word of God is not blasphemed, not just for his sake, but for his sake. Because he set the plan up and he set the order structure in the home. And the plan is from God, not from us. And the reason that we're obedient, again, ladies and young women, be taught that by the older women, because it gives God glory. And when you disrespect your husband, it doesn't just disrespect him, it disrespects him. And too many times we miss that. And a lot of times, you know why the young women don't do that? Is because they've never been taught the why. And the why is right here in the word of God for us. And we must go on. He then, you know, we've been along. It says, be not blasphemed. And then let's get with the young men, because they deserve a shot too, don't they? Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. If there was any age that young men are growing up really slow, it's this age. Okay? Most guys, by the time they were 12, at my age range, listen, there was probably, you know, I mean, I was working by 12. Now we've, you know, we think, you know, child labor laws. Listen, the best thing we could do is work our kids. They need to learn how to use their hands, because if they use their hand, it'll help them use their head, or else they'll lose their hands. Amen. But most of the time now, we're worried about hand-eye coordination. Texting, playing game systems. Amen. You say, and you know, we used to be able to say, we preach against, get a job, bless God. You can't make no money doing that. So you know what the devil did? He set up a whole online platform and said, you know what? If you stay online long enough and you can be a fool long enough for get people to watch you, we'll pay you to do it. So there are people that just sit home all day long and act a fool so that people will watch them. And somebody, and listen, because you're watching, somebody pays them to do it. Hey, folks, I think we live in a day and age. Listen, I'd be ashamed of myself if that was how I made a living. What have I created? Content. What is content? Right? Did anybody ever eat content? Anybody ever build a house out of content? Hey, was anyone ever content from content? No, they're always looking for more. What's next? Folks, we've got to come to the place where we realize and be sober-minded. Again, is this something? This is something I think every man in here ought to realize. This is something we think about, and it's generationally, is this an occupation that I want to teach my son? Am I doing something that I am proud of that I can pass on to my child? Because what most of us, we live in a day and age where only thing we're worried about doing is making a paycheck and then running away from that job to something else. And if I wasn't doing something that I was proud of, that I could pass on to my children, again, who's going to train them? I'm going to send them off to a state university to train them? I can trust those people? No. So we've got to come to a place where we're proud and doing something that we believe glorifies God. Something that can bring honor to the man in the house. And again, for the young men, being sober-minded, that has to be taught by aged men who are sober. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing, look, uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. He uses two different words here. He uses for the woman, it's holiness, and for the young man, it's uncorruptness. It means that you have never been corrupted. That means you never went down that road. You never turned. You never looked at the wrong thing. You never spoke about the wrong thing. You never heard the wrong thing. You stayed away from it. You were never corrupted to had to be cleansed from. Now, I understand we're all sinners. But for the lady, he says, stay holy. Be holy. For the young man, don't corrupt yourselves. Be uncorrupted. He says, uncorruptness, gravity. You know, gravity holds us. One of the greatest things about a young man is that you ought to gravitate to somebody that you want to be like. The only thing that's going to keep you sound in the faith and in doctrine and all these things that we'll talk about in charity and patience is being in the orbit of somebody, an aged man, that can teach you and you can follow their example. I'm thankful for the men that I put myself in their gravity. Sometimes in ignorance, not saying, you know what, chapter and verse, Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 is why I'm doing this. But you men, you can't be ignorant of that. You young men, you need to decide today, whose gravity am I hanging out with? I can tell you about some places. I remember one night I went to a place, and listen, nothing sinful really, but they just decided they were going to drain the oil out of a 454 Chevrolet motor. This is a crime. I just want to tell everybody this, right? Drained every drop of oil out of it, put a brick on the gas pedal, and we all sat there to watch how long it would take it to blow up. Now, there was nothing sober about that. And it really wasn't that eventful. It just quit running after a while. But we all thought we were waiting for the big explosion. We should have got dynamite. It would have been much more dynamic. Hey, but see, that's the kind of thing, that's what young men gravitate to. They gravitate to a group that says, watch this. Wouldn't it be great that if in the church we had some men, some of you think the preacher's crazy, attempting great things for God. You think that the youth pastor's crazy, attempting, but you know what young men gravitate to? Somebody saying, watch this. Or maybe in the church house, watch God do this. And just believing that God can do it. And we need more men in our church that will step up for God and live in such a way that they'll say, watch God, He can do it. Let's go for it. Let's believe God. Let's just do it by faith, sound in doctrine and in faith and in love and in patience. And having people come and gravitate to that. We need young men. Listen, if the Lord tarries His coming, who's gonna be the next generation that stands in this pulpit, that preaches to the group that will come because we've won souls, and we will continue until Jesus comes? The only way that happens is if we have some young men with gravity to hold sound faith and hold sound doctrine and hold it in their life until it's their opportunity to step up and lead as the aged man. They were a young man that was uncorrupted in their doctrine, in their faith, in their love, and in their patience. Look at what the Bible says. What does that produce? Sound speech. You know what the world needs to hear from the church? From aged men, aged women and young men, sound speech. Sound speech comes from sound doctrine and sound faith and sound love for the lost. Sound patience, that even when I'm suffering, my heart's desire is to see people saved. Not because it's my desire, but because it's God's desire, it's His will. And I want my life to be tied up in God's will and see God's will done. It's a command to the church. I must see God's desires done and His commands fulfilled. Wouldn't it be something if in all these things, look, He says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And He's still speaking about the young men and young women. Isn't it great when we have young men and young women stand up and preach sound doctrine, sound faith, that can't be condemned? Nobody's going to cut them down for standing up and at a young age with uncorruptness, with holiness, singing for the Lord, speaking up for the Lord, doing all the things that others have done and they've seen. It says, look, so that he that is of the contrary part, that means people who don't have the same convictions we still hold. People that don't go soul winning like we do, and they said they don't like how we do it, and we don't like how they don't do it. Amen. Said that they may be ashamed having no evil thing to say of you. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in such a way as aged men, aged women, that they really just didn't have anything to say? Because when they looked at your life and really took a hard look at it to try to see your hypocrisy or something they could pin you to the wall on, they say, I looked and there's nothing there. I could lie about it, but it won't stick. Because everybody knows that person loves the Lord and walks with him, lives for him. He's the aged man. He's a Christian man, sound man, a sound woman. Tonight, if you're here tonight, where are you at? Where are you at in your soundness? You have sound faith, sound doctrine, sound love. Every one of us is growing in one of these areas, and we need to see it fulfilled in our lives. And for all of us, just saying this, listen, why? Because it produces sound speech that helps other people, because that sound speech comes out for me. Praise God, I'm not what I used to be. You know, the sound speech that come from the Apostle Paul was, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Didn't matter that he wasn't ashamed. And he told the lost and dying world, there was apostles, you remember those guys, that turned the world upside down. You know how they turned it upside down? With sound speech, holding sound doctrine and sound faith with a sound love for the lost, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they suffered sound patience and they didn't quit. They kept on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's a first step in being sound. You could never be whole without Jesus Christ. Inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl, inside this place, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. And you've been seeking something to fill it. And the only one that could ever fill it was the one that was made to fill it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can take care of it. And to begin that journey of being sound, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But so many of us that have accepted him, listen, where are we at in our soundness? Listen, I wouldn't want to leave this place tonight without being a little more sound or reaching out and say, God, help me to be sober. Lord, help me to live holy. God, help me, you young men, to be uncorrupted by the world. Whatever God's asked you to do tonight, let's stand to our feet. The musicians are going to come. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, you know to begin that, you have to accept Christ as your Savior. You know, I'm going to go down in the front and I'll take a Bible. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're sound on eternal life. How you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You could, if you're a lady, you can meet with a lady. If you're a guy, we could take and have a man take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Whatever it is that you need to do tonight, something about being sound in the faith. If you need to pray about that, then step out and come. Maybe you need to be sound about baptism. You've never joined the church. The first step on fulfilling doctrine is fulfilling the command and the desire of Jesus Christ for you to be saved and baptized. If you need to do that tonight, as Brother Bert sings, meet me in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how. Amen, Brother Bert.
All to Jesus I